This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sierra.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is your Weekly Dose of Wicked.
Hello, and welcome to your Weekly Dose of Wicked on Wednesday. If it comes out on Wednesday, there's no telling. Today is literally Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. So some day of the week. On some generic day of the week.
Woo, yeah. We've really been shitboxes.
Yeah, we have.
We really have. You know what? Here's the thing. Pre-having our own podcast, I used to get really annoyed with my favorite podcast when their episodes were late.
Yeah.
And then here we are. And it's shits for the birds, man. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And life gets in the way. And I apologize. And I hope that you guys just continue to listen sporadically as you get an episode until we can get our lives back in order.
Which will be never.
I mean, maybe. Maybe we'll get our lives back in order.
Maybe.
I think we really took a downhill turn when I went back to work.
Yeah.
That's what really fucked the podcast up. Because I did a lot for the podcast. And now I don't have as much time. And it's difficult.
Yeah.
So I think that's really when our problems occurred. Now, if you want me to quit my job and dedicate all of my time to the podcast, what you can do is you can go to www.patreon.com/weeklydoseofwicked and join the Patreon.
Then Sierra won't have to work anymore, so.
Right. And then I won't have to work anymore and I have all of my time to dedicate to the podcast. But until you can help provide my salary that I currently make.
Can't do it.
We need 220 Patreons for that. Minimum. And that's with me taking all of the money and actually getting nothing.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
I'm just saying. So really, we just need a lot of Patreons if you want me to quit my job, which I would love to do.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be that'd honest, be nice. I hate it.
That would be nice to quit our jobs, but...
Ooh, but guess what? That person that I hate at work quit.
Your reporter told me.
Oh, who?
The oldest.
I don't even know why she's being nosy. Had nothing to do with it.
I don't know, but she said, guess what? My mom is so excited to go to work this weekend because you know who.
Yeah.
I was like, what? And she's like, you know who, you know? Her least favorite person. She's gone.
Yeah, she quit.
I was like, oh, okay.
Which makes me quite happy because it was really miserable to work with her. I don't know if you guys have any colleagues that are miserable to work with, but this one topped it of all the people I've ever worked with in my life.
Yeah, she sounded horrible.
She was awful. Just a horrible person. Rude and just... I don't know. Not a fan. So anyway, that's good. Can't wait to go to work.
I'm happy for you.
And not have to deal with that. But that's why my schedule was also late. It didn't come out until today when it's supposed to come out on Monday.
Yeah, well.
But hey, I'll take it. That's fine. So anyway, we have some exciting news in our Weekly Dose of Wicked. Joining us on the level of Moderately Wicked.
Nancy, with no last name, because you are so important.
Yes, I didn't know you could join the Patreon with no last name, but Nancy said you can.
Nancy can, because she's important.
Nancy said, hold my beer and watch this.
Exactly.
So Nancy joined us on the level of Moderately Wicked. If you want a shout out on the podcast, again, go to www.patreon.com/weeklydoseofwicked, where you will sometimes get a bonus episode, and you also get ad-free episodes.
Yeah, we'll do better for you, Nancy, and all the other Patreons.
We will. I actually was going to have a Patreon ready today, but I do not because I had to go pick up a bike from a child, and that took more time than anticipated.
I understand.
So, yeah. Anyway, I've got this case prepared for us. You want me to just jump into it, or you have anything else exciting going on?
I don't think so.
You're 24 weeks to, yes, Monday, right?
Sometime. Yeah.
Sometime this week, you were 24 weeks.
Yeah, viability week.
Yeah. So now, that's great. Only 16 weeks to go.
It's kind of scary.
Ashley looks real cute today with her pregnant gut hanging out.
Shut up, Sierra.
She's like wearing a normal tank top. And are those your pants?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Whose pants would they be?
I don't know. They just looked large. I don't know.
They're my comfy pants.
She's wearing her comfy pants and a normal tank top, and like her whole pregnant gut is exposed. Real cute. She looks like a barefoot pregnant southern mama.
Well, you know what? It looked comfortable. So this is what I put on.
I mean, you look comfy. I just think it's funny that you're like walking around with your...
I'm in my own house.
I know. It's just funny.
If you don't like it, get the fuck out of here.
I cannot, because this is where the podcasting happens.
Well, then.
This is where the magic takes place.
Quit complaining.
I don't know how long we'll be making magic here, because soon you're going to have a baby screaming. Have to...
Send her over there.
Have her father take her on a walk. Get her out of here.
Yeah, or maybe we can do it after she's sleeping.
I don't know what time you're planning on putting her to bed, but...
Don't babies go to bed pretty early?
Depends on the baby.
Don't know.
I don't know. But anyway,
I don't know anything about babies.
Soon enough, I'm aware. You make that quite obvious.
Thank you.
Pretty regularly. In other news, that's all we got.
That's all we got. So let's jump in.
Let's jump into this case I prepared for you today. It's a good one.
Okay.
I've prepared for you a family annihilator.
Oh, yay.
My favorite.
I know.
John Email List. Are you familiar with John List?
Yeah, I know the name.
Okay, sweet. So John Email List was born September 17th, 1925. So a fellow Virgo in Bay City, Michigan, to his parents, Alma and John Frederick List. John's father was 25 years older than his mother, and the family was very involved in church. So just for your knowledge, he was 64 years old when John List was born.
Okay.
Pretty old. To be fathering children.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, they can also have kids till they die.
25 years of an age gap. That's a pretty big age gap.
That is a big age gap.
So because of the household's heavily involvement in the church, they were very strict. John was expected to keep a neat and tidy room. In their home, he didn't actually have a bedroom. His room was like the parlor. Well, it was like an open room in the house, so like he had no privacy whatsoever.
Right. That sucks.
Yeah. He was expected to excel in school as well as uphold strong religious values. John's father referred to him only as the boy and actually didn't really speak to him. He really only communicated to him through Alma. John's mother, Alma, was more nurturing, but almost to an extent of being overly protective. I say that lightly. She was really overprotective. She was terrified that John would get sick and die.
Okay.
I personally feel like that's a valid concern in the 1930s.
I think my neighbor is mowing the lawn.
Your neighbor is mowing the lawn. I was just going to ignore it.
Okay. Sorry, guys, if you hear a lawnmower.
So anyway, I mean, unfortunately, Ashley, we can't control the people around us.
Well, they're the worst neighbors I ever had.
Okay. Well, maybe they listen to the podcast.
I don't care.
I agree, though. They are awful neighbors. Like, for real. For real, for real. With their revolving door of basement tenants.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're super annoying. Mm-hmm. It's okay, though. We're just going to get past this.
Okay.
So anyway, back to what I was talking about here. She was terrified that he was going to get sick and die, which I think is a valid concern in the 1930s. I feel like a lot of people just like died in the 1930s, right? Yeah. Probably lots of diseases going around. Because of this, she wouldn't allow John to play outside or interact with other children. She did, however, allow him to attend church events with her. When John graduated high school, he enlisted in the army as a way to get away from his overbearing mother. In 1944, John's father passed away. He returned for the funeral but showed no emotion. So sources said that this was due to their relationship. I actually just feel like men don't like to show emotion. And I feel like also in this time period, like 1944, I feel like it was probably very inappropriate for men to cry and show emotion.
Right.
I feel like it's still a very taboo thing. I mean, we live in the Bible Belt in the South, and men here, they don't believe in emotion.
Yeah.
Your husband does, but...
My husband's a crybaby.
Your husband cries. My husband does not cry.
But see, role reversal, because I do not cry.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah. I just know that, I mean, in all of our years, how many times have you seen Dad cry?
I can count on one hand, probably.
And, like, Jacob is the same way. Like, Jacob does not show emotion at all. I mean, he buried his grandfather. And like I say that, like, oh, he buried his grandfather and he should have cried. No, like he legit buried his grandfather. He legit covered his grandfather in the dirt.
Right.
Because they couldn't afford to have someone come and cover him in dirt. And he did that with a straight face. No tears.
Yeah.
No emotion whatsoever. So I kind of feel like him not showing emotion doesn't really say they had a bad relationship. I think it's just
men
not showing emotion.
I mean, it could be a bad relationship, but...
It could be, but I'm just saying I don't think that that's 100% the case.
Right.
Even if they didn't have a great relationship, I feel like you can't help but love your parents.
Right. Yeah, even if they're shit.
Yeah. And I don't think he was shit. I think he was just old. He was 64 years old when he was born. He wasn't running around playing basketball with him.
Right.
Like, he was old. He was strict. And he referred to him only as the boy. So, I mean, I just think that they probably just had, like, a very stoic relationship.
You know, Tyler's stepdad only ever refers to Tyler's sister as the girl.
Well, there you go.
I mean, they have a great relationship, but...
He also only refers to Tyler as 10.
That is true, which is not nice.
Right, so... okay, so after the funeral, John would be shipped overseas, but he would actually return before seeing any live combat, because remember, he's in the army.
Mm-hmm.
He did, however, return with a new interest in firearms. John would then enroll in the University of Michigan, where he would later graduate with a degree in business finance and get his MBA. He remained active in the Army Reserves as a second lieutenant. Shortly after graduation, John would end up being called back into active duty, where he would serve in the Korean War. I'm not exactly sure how that works, because it said he served in the Korean War, but he was actually stationed in Virginia the entire time and saw no live action. So I don't know. I don't know how the army works. I don't want to offend anyone, but I don't really feel like he served in the Korean War in Virginia.
Right.
I feel like that should be reserved for the people that go and fight in the war.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. So if that offends any sort of military, but I don't know how that
like
works.
Maybe he was like giving commands to the people in
the
war.
I don't know, but I just thought that was really weird that it said he served in the Korean War and was stationed in Virginia and saw no live combat.
Right. That doesn't make sense to me, but I also don't know how the military works. Same. So.
During this time, though, he did, however, meet a woman named Helen Taylor. Helen was a 24-year-old widow. Her husband had died in a war. She was an army widow, so I would assume the Korean War. She already had a 9-year-old daughter named Brenda. Against his mother's wishes, John began a relationship with Helen. Alma did not approve, as Helen was not a member of the church, and the two were very much in love, though, and they didn't care what Alma thought. So shortly after their relationship began, Helen fell pregnant, and the two wed in December of 1951. I'm not sure why I said she fell pregnant. I just felt like that fit the time frame.
Okay.
Alma was distraught, as she believed that Helen was beneath John. Alma grew even more irate when it was discovered that Helen had lied about being pregnant. Devil's advocate here. Did she lie about being pregnant, or did she have a miscarriage?
Right.
I mean, if she lied about being pregnant, that's pretty crappy, but I feel like...
She could have just
had a miscarriage. It's very likely she could have just had a miscarriage.
And Alma doesn't like her.
Right.
So.
She would just assume she lied.
Yeah.
Helen and Alma grew to dislike each other more and more, and soon they couldn't even stand to be around one another. By 1955, the family was living in Detroit, and John had been discharged from the army. Helen and John did welcome their first child, Patricia Marie. John was working for an accounting firm, and they were happy. When John was offered a better job in Kalamazoo, Michigan, the family relocated and they welcomed their second child, John Frederick, which is interesting to me because that was John's father's name.
Right.
So if they, in fact, had such a poor relationship, why would he name his son after him?
Yeah.
Which, again, that's what I'm saying. I don't know that he necessarily, like, had a horrible relationship with his father. I think he was just a man.
Okay, I'm on board.
So as time went on, tension grew in the List house. Helen showed less and less interest in John's religion, causing John to feel resentful towards her. Brenda turned 16, and this caused even more issues for John and Helen as Brenda started to rebel. She just really wanted to get out of this house. In 1958, John and Helen welcomed their third child, Frederick Michael, which I feel like is named after his father again.
Yeah.
John Frederick and then Frederick Michael. So again, I don't feel like he hated his father.
But also, it could have been a family name. Like maybe that was his grandpa's name too.
I guess it's possible, but I feel like if that were the case, his name would have been John Frederick. It was not. It was John Emil. I don't know. After Frederick's birth, Helen began drinking heavily and using drugs recreationally. Helen began spending copious amounts of money and leaving John to do most of the household chores on his own, including raising the children. As if that wasn't stressful enough for John, the company he worked for merged with another company and John was fired. So John takes a job in Rochester, New York for Xerox. Didn't even know Xerox was around that long ago, but apparently it was.
I don't even know what that is.
Xerox, like the copy machine. Xerox is like the original fax machine.
Oh, didn't know. Were you waving
to? Always waving at a child who's waving at us through the window.
Oh, okay. One of them just came in the front door.
I think it was that one. I think that she came in and realized we were recording and left.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where it was. Oh, Xerox. So He gets a job with Xerox, and so the family makes the move, but their home life is still not improving. Helen continues to spend money that the couple doesn't have, and John would end up lying to friends as well as colleagues about their financial situation. When John was let go from Xerox, he again was on the hunt for work to keep his family afloat. He sure gets let go a lot.
Yeah.
Luckily, John was able to secure a job in New Jersey as a vice president and comptroller for First National Bank.
Oh, wow.
I don't know about back then, but comptrollers make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that's a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, though.
He was let go.
No.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, you distracted me. Unfortunately, though, the couple's finances are now depleted. And so in order to make the move to New Jersey, John had to call his mother to borrow money to put down on a house. That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
Alma agreed to help if she could move in with the family, which is weird because she hates Helen.
Right.
But anyway, John agrees and the family moves into a large Victorian mansion on Hillside Avenue. I also feel like if they're having financial problems, they could have gotten a smaller house.
Yes.
Instead of a Victorian mansion.
Probably. And their kids are like older now, right?
I mean, Brenda is probably out of the house by now.
Right.
Patricia. I mean, it hasn't been that long since they've had.
Okay, but at least one of them's out of the house.
Yeah, at least. But they still have three kids. So they didn't need a mansion regardless. But I don't think their kids are older now.
Right. Okay.
I still think they're probably pretty young. I mean, at this point, we're in 1960, probably. 1958 is when Frederick Michael was born. And then prior to that, 55 is when he was discharged from the army, and they have Patricia. So, I mean, these kids are only 3 years apart. So, I mean, they're all very close in age. So even, I don't know, I don't think it's really been that long at this point. So 1955, they have Patricia. Then they have John Frederick. And then 1958, they have
Frederick Michael.
Frederick Michael. I'm sorry. Their names are very confusing because there's a lot of names that are all the same. So they have Patricia, second John, and then Frederick Michael.
Gotcha.
And that's all within 3 years. So they're like literally 3 years. I would say like it's 55 to 58. So like 55, 56, 57, 58. I mean, it's in a 4-year span, whatever.
Okay. So just the oldest one.
So just Brenda probably is out of the house at this point. And this doesn't say, like, I don't know what year he started this VP job. Because our next date isn't until, like, the 70s. So, I mean, it was sometime between 58 and 70. Okay. So, I mean, and in the 70s, the kids are still in school. So, I mean, no, I wouldn't say they're older. They're probably small children at this point.
Okay.
So, where was I?
So, go ahead. This the one? You can edit this out. But the wife, like, goes crazy. Kills the...
No.
And puts her head on a serving platter?
No.
Okay.
What the fuck is that?
Good one.
No. I wanted to look into that. No, ma'am.
Yeah, the wife goes crazy. And one of, I mean, obviously not this one, apparently. But the wife, like, is like, I'm done with this bitch. And kills.
The mother-in-law?
Yeah, the mother-in-law. Puts her head on a serving platter. Serves it to her husband and kills him, too.
Oh, no. But we need to look into that.
It's a good one.
Be a good Patreon episode. No, I've never even heard of that.
I listened to it.
I feel like that's like an Edgar Allan Poe story. I don't feel like that's legit true crime.
I think it was legit.
I mean, it probably is, but I'm just saying that sounds pretty crazy to me.
I can like picture where I was when I was like listening to the episode. I was in my car.
Oh my gosh. We'll have to look into that and see if we can do that as an episode.
Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. You can do that for me and tell me about it.
I'm sorry.
If you could quit hitting your mic.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to Google. I'll Google later. Just remind me because, you know,
I'll remind you. Yeah, pregnancy brain.
Yeah, it's bad.
All right. So where are we at? They move into this big mansion they don't really need. John is struggling in his new position as it relies heavily on him bringing in new customers. John is very socially awkward. And as other socially awkward people, we know how difficult that is.
Yeah, very.
So this task proved very difficult for him. So John actually ends up being let go after only a year with the company. Feeling defeated.
So he is let go.
He is let go, but not yet. So feeling defeated, John cannot bring himself to tell Helen. Because Helen had contracted syphilis from her first husband after years of drinking and drug use, her condition had accelerated rapidly. So Helen ends up being diagnosed with cerebral atrophy. Do you know what that is?
Say it again.
Cerebral atrophy?
Something to do with the brain, and atrophy is like muscle loss.
Well, there you go. Brain muscle loss.
There we go.
I don't know if that's factual. I was hoping that you and your medical knowledge would just know. So I didn't look it up. Cerebral atrophy happens when an area of the brain or your entire brain loses neurons.
So, brain loss.
Yes, pretty much. So the doctors tell John that he should put Helen into a home. And John's like, no, I'm not doing that to my wife. So I assume like some sort of like assisted living.
Right, probably.
Yeah. So with the stress of her condition and the massive mortgage payment that John couldn't afford, he continues to go about his life as normal. He leaves for work every day, going to a job that doesn't exist. He would spend his day reading books, 8 hours a day, sitting at the train station. And then he would return home as if he'd been at work all day. To survive, John used money from his mother's account. John did end up finding another job, but the pay was a huge cut for the family. So at this point, he takes out a second mortgage on their home.
That's probably not a good idea, John.
No. John is absolutely losing control, and he just can't handle the pressure. He begins to be stricter on his children, which causes Patricia to rebel, because by this point, Patricia's, I guess, a teenager. She's right. Born in 58, I mean, or no, she's born in 55, I'm sorry. By now, we're in like the 70s, 71, so I mean, she's a teenager. She's trying to rebel. She begins using drugs, and she takes an interest in the occult. Which obviously doesn't go over well with John because he is a religious man.
Right.
John just can't take the constant fighting at home, and so he begins throwing himself into his hobbies. His infatuation with firearms grows, and within a few years, John started to make very strange comments about how easy it would be just to start a new life.
What does that have to do with the firearms?
Nothing.
Okay.
And now it's time for an ad.
Do-do-do.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Doo-doo-doo.
So, on November 5th of 1971, John calls all of his children into the dining room to have a conversation with them. He then asks if they would prefer to be buried or cremated.
That's not weird.
Mm-hmm. He told them they needed to be prepared to die.
Okay.
This obviously caught the children off guard, but they did tell him that they would like to be buried. It's a pretty interesting conversation to have with your children. I'm fully on board for being prepared for death.
Right.
It's inevitable. We're all going to die. It's going to happen. But that does not mean I'm having that conversation with my children.
Right.
I don't feel like that's something that you need to put on them.
It's kind of morbid.
Yeah, and I feel like he gets that from Elmo a little bit, because like Elmo was like terrified he was going to die.
Right.
And like sheltered him, and now he's like, all right, kids, let's prepare for your death. Would you like to be cremated or buried?
Yeah, like have that talk with your adult children.
Right. Not these children are not adults. They're not.
Right.
I mean, at this point, it's 1971, so.
Right. They're not.
They're not adults. The youngest they're is like what?
11. 12.
The youngest is what, 13? He was born in 58.
Oh, right, and it's 71. I'm bad right. math, you know.
Yeah,
that.
No, it's okay. So we're looking at like a 13-year-old, a 14, 15-year-old, and a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, that's not an appropriate conversation to be having with your children.
Right. I could see if he was like, hey, I'm 80 years old.
Right.
And I would like to be buried, just so you know.
Right.
That's
what. But like, he's not even that old because he was born in 25.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, like his dad was old.
So he'd be like 44.
Right.
Right? Because 1975 would be 50 and it's 71. So yeah. Whatever. 56? I don't know. Or, I mean, 46? I don't know. He's not even 50.
We're not that old.
We're not that good at math, obviously. Okay. So anyways, obviously this caught the children off guard. They told him that they would like to be buried and he just like walks out of the room. Says nothing else. That's just the end of it.
That's weird.
Yeah. So on November 9th, 1971, which is just a few days later, John takes his three children, Patricia, John Frederick, and Frederick Michael, to school. He comes home and he takes two handguns from his vehicle into the house with him. Upon entering the home, Helen is sitting at the kitchen table, sipping her morning coffee, and John shoots her in the back of the head.
Ew.
John then went upstairs where he shot and killed his mother, Alma, as she lay in her bed. He then waited for the kids to return from school. When Patricia and Frederick Michael arrived home, John shot and killed both of them. He then made a sandwich. John got in his car, went to the post office, and then went to his son John Frederick's soccer game. When the game concluded, both Johns got in the family car and drove home. Upon arriving home, the two entered, and John shot his son John in the chest, killing him.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. But like, what a sociopath. He made a sandwich. He's went to the like, post office. Like, no big fucking deal. Like, I just killed four people.
I went and watched my son's soccer game.
Yeah. Killed my wife, killed my mother, killed two of my kids, and then went, made a sandwich, went to the post office, watched a soccer game, and then kill another. Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Casually drove his son home.
Yeah, no big deal. So John then drags each body into the living room where he laid his dead family on sleeping bags. He then went through the home and cut his face out of all of the family photos.
That's okay.
Yeah. John Liss packed his things and then he wrote a letter to his pastor. In the letter, he claimed that the family was turning away from religion and he had to kill them to secure their place in heaven.
Okay, that's a little crazy.
Mm-hmm. John called the children's school and let them know that they would be on vacation for several weeks, so not to expect them in class. He also canceled all upcoming deliveries to the home.
So no one would find them.
Right. I don't know what you're getting delivered in the 70s. Like, I was thinking, like, when I was doing it, I was like, oh, like the milkman, you know, but that's probably like more of the 50s, right?
Right. That's what I was just thinking, like, oh, the milkman.
But yeah, but I don't think that's actually the case. 70s. But it wasn't Amazon either. So I don't know what he was having delivered. But he canceled all of those.
Well, but mom and dad talk about, like, the milk being delivered. And they were born in the 70s.
Yeah. Did that actually occur?
I don't know. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's granny that talks about it.
I texted dad and said, did milk get delivered to your house as a child? Let's see if he responds. I don't know. I don't know what deliveries he was canceling, but he canceled the deliveries, it said. Interested to know what kind of deliveries
there were. The first home milk deliveries occurred in Vermont in 1785.
Oh, wow.
That's a long time ago.
That is a long time ago. I don't know. I don't know what was being delivered.
Okay. Well, whatever.
I don't know. I just know he canceled the deliveries. John would then sleep in the home with his deceased family before leaving the following morning.
That's gross.
Before he departed, John turned on the radio and every light in the house. He then vanished. After a month, a neighbor called police as they noticed that the lights had been on consistently. It took a month for a neighbor to call the police.
Well, that was a true zero sense to mind your own business.
Yeah, but that's insane to me.
Yeah, a month. That's a long time.
A month. It took a month for a neighbor to say, hey, this house has been untouched for a month and all of the lights have been on.
Right.
That's crazy. So on December 9th of 1971, police arrived at the List home. Upon entering the home, they found the five deceased members of the List family, as well as the 5-page letter that John left for his pastor.
5 pages?
Yeah.
It's a long letter.
I agree. That's what I was thinking. I was like, what on earth did you have to write for 5 pages?
Right. I'm a sociopath who killed my whole family. Done.
Yeah. Insane. So the FBI is brought in relatively quickly and they discover John's car at the JFK International Airport in New York. But with that, the case goes cold. This was before surveillance, so there's no video footage of him getting on an airplane. And also, this is pre-9/11. So I feel like airports were just pretty like laissez-faire places. They have no way to track what flight he was on. And really, the investigation just comes to a complete halt.
That's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. The New Jersey police continued to work the case with very little movement. In 1989, New Jersey prosecutors contacted America's Most Wanted and shared the story of the List family. Unfortunately, though, in order to be featured, they would need a photo of John List, and he had cut his face out of all of the family photos. So, with no other option, they contacted a man named Frank Bender. Frank was an expert forensic artist. Hearing the tragic story of the List family, Frank agreed to make a mock-up of what John would look like after all of these years. So I assumed this was going to be a drawing.
Yeah.
It was actually a bust. Do you know what a bust is?
No, but it's like a metal cast. Not metal.
It's a sculpture.
Yeah.
It's a sculpture of a person's head. Like, I was trying to find this photo and I was like, I don't understand why it's just showing me him. No, it was, one of them was a sculpture.
Right. It's like a little dummy.
I had no idea.
I only know that because I've heard this case before, and I thought it was weird then.
Oh, okay.
I don't just have that random knowledge in my head.
You thought it was weird that there was a bust?
Yeah.
I just sent you a picture of the side-by-side of John List as well as the bust. There it went.
Okay. Yes. It looks pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty uncanny, right?
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so I said here, it's a sculpture of a person's head, face, and shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I did think was interesting is that the sculpture had horned-rimmed glasses, because psychologists believe that John would still wear the same style of glasses that he wore in the past during the height of his career, because they made him feel successful.
Hmm.
So that's just like an interesting and psychology.
And the glasses are, yeah, exactly the same.
Yeah. Hmm. So kind of crazy, right?
Yeah. It's interesting.
So now that they have the sculpture, the episode aired on May 1st of 1989, which is the first year that America's Most Wanted was actually on the air. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So after the episode concluded, tips started pouring in. One tip that really stuck out, though, is a woman in Virginia. She said that this man was an uncanny match for her neighbor, Robert Clark. Robert was an accountant, and he was very involved in his church. So authorities immediately head to Robert's home. There they meet his wife. The two had met in 1977 at a church event and later married in 1985. Robert's wife was named Dolores Clark, and what she told police would shock them. She told them that after John List murdered his family, he went to Colorado, where he adopted the alias Robert Clark. I'm sorry, he adopted the alias Richard Clark, which was a former classmate. He was able to create an entirely new life and kept his alias until he moved to Richmond, Virginia, where he then became Robert Clark. I don't know why he made a switch from Richard to Robert, but he did.
I must have thought that was a cooler name.
So police arrest Robert Clark, a.k.a. John List, just 10 days after the episode aired on America's Most Wanted.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was fast.
Right? His trial would not begin until 1990, and his main defense was PTSD from World War II as well as the Korean War.
But he saw no active.
Yeah. He was never in an active war zone.
Yeah.
So I said that. He never saw active combat, so I'm not trying to belittle vets with PTSD, but what exactly did he have PTSD from?
Combat, that's the word I was trying to think of.
I know you were, but I don't want to steal my thunder from this line that I had carefully curated for the episode.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that PTSD is not a real thing, because it is.
No, 100%.
And I apologize if somebody has PTSD from not being active combat, but that does not make sense to me.
Right.
Like, what do you have PTSD from?
Boot camp?
Right. Well,
boot camp, I've heard, is pretty horrible.
I've heard that as well. And apparently my sister-in-law has PTSD from boot camp, but she also has a lot of things.
Let's not talk crap about your sister-in-law.
I'm not talking crap. I'm just saying that she apparently has PTSD from boot camp.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure in like, when was he in boot camp in like the 50s? I'm sure it was way different then than it is now. I think it's probably way worse.
Right. But they didn't say he had PTSD from boot camp. They said he had PTSD from being in World War II and the Korean War.
Right.
Which to me is just crazy. Like, right. What did you have PTSD from? Being flown into World War II and then flown right back out because you didn't see any active combat. Like, you were pulled out.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me, but...
Me neither.
No military experience, so...
So, experts would also argue that John was suffering from a severe midlife crisis.
Okay.
That's horrible defenses to me, honestly.
Yeah. Those are dumb.
I don't care how big of a midlife crisis you're having. You don't kill your whole family.
Right. Go to therapy and suck it up.
Well, there probably wasn't therapy. In the 70s.
I'm sure there was therapy.
It was very taboo to go to therapy.
Okay, well, he needed it, clearly.
Clearly he did. So regardless of the defense's attempts to excuse John's horrific behavior, a jury would find him guilty and he would be sentenced to 5 consecutive life sentences.
Good.
In a 2002 interview, John said that he did not commit suicide as he believed that that would prevent him from entering heaven.
But not killing 5 people.
I don't know what exactly his religion was. I mean, I'm assuming some form of Christianity.
Right.
The Bible does say thou shalt not kill, though.
Right. Yeah, that's a pretty important one.
I don't know, though. I mean, I don't know how that works. Maybe his thought process was he would kill them and then ask for forgiveness.
I don't know that that's how that works either,
but I mean.
Okay, whatever.
So that's why he didn't kill himself. He was hoping to one day be reunited with his family.
Okay.
I think personally,
killed them, and then
if I were in heaven and my husband came that killed me, I would kick him right back out. But I don't know, because I'm sure in heaven I won't have any sort of a
resentment.
Yeah, resentment or anger. So maybe not. Maybe I would welcome him in open arms. But I just feel like Angel Sierra would be like, nope. Boop.
Yeah,
kick him to the ground.
I agree.
In 2008, John Emil List died in prison from pneumonia at 82 years old.
He lived a long time.
Yeah. Right?
Hmm.
2008.
He was born in 25?
Yeah, 1925.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Yeah, that is.
So anyway, that's what I prepared for us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. I know how much you love Familia Side.
I do.
Family Annihilators are your fave, just like me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they are. You're right. You nailed that one right on the head.
Yeah. Do you have any other insights to add to this case?
No.
No, I'm just done with it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what I've already said. I think he's just a sociopath.
Yeah. For sure.
He had no reason to kill his family.
I mean, it is one of the main reasons why men kill their families, though.
It's financial.
Yeah, I don't feel like he really killed them to make sure they went to heaven. I feel he killed them because
had nothing to do with it
at all. Was in a financial disaster and he had no way out.
Okay, but there is a way out. Don't live in a Victorian mansion.
Yeah.
Cut down on your bills.
I agree.
I mean, there's ways out.
I agree. So I had also read, I was going to find this thing because it's like right here, I think, right? I'm sorry, let me just find it really quick. That also in his letter, in his confession letter, he was a Lutheran.
Oh, okay.
So in the letter, he also said that the potential for his children to be on welfare was just more than I thought they could and should endure. So rather than them being poor, he thought it would be better for them to be dead. Pretty much what the letter said. I really wanted to find the 5-page letter because I wanted to know what on earth he had to say for 5 pages.
Right. Yeah. I wish you would have found that too.
But I mean, it was from 1971, actually. It's an old case.
It's long gone.
So that was the thing too. But I feel like that's much more so why he killed them.
Oh, for sure. It had nothing to do with
them
getting into heaven. That's stupid.
No, nothing. It had everything to do with the fact that he had blown their lives up. He had not been able to keep a job, which also, I'm sorry, John List, but why did you get fired so many times?
Right, like you...
I've never been fired in my life.
Yeah.
Ever. And I'm not that great of an employee. So, like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
To be fired? There's many times when I should have been fired.
Right.
And I wasn't. Mm-hmm. So, like, what is he doing? Or am I just so lovable that they can't stand to let me go? I mean...
I don't think that's it.
I don't know. I just feel like, what was he doing? Like, he lost a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. How do you get fired that many times?
Right. And the whole, like, his excuse was that he wanted to help his family get into heaven or whatever. I mean, was there really any proof that they were getting away from God?
Other than Patricia being obsessed with the occult.
I mean, okay, but that's one of five.
Right. And I mean, Pellin did lose interest in religion pretty early on. It said that she, like, stopped going to church with him. Like, she wasn't religious to begin with.
Right.
Like, she wasn't religious when they were married. So she didn't lose interest in it. She just never had interest in it.
Right.
Which, that's why you should find someone that's evenly yoked.
Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. I feel
like religion is a very difficult thing to, like, have difference of opinions on.
Right.
So.
Right. I agree. It makes your life a little easier if a Christian marries a Christian or a non-Christian marries a non-Christian.
It does.
Or whatever religion. I mean,
right, any religion. It doesn't matter. Any religion. Like, if you can try to stay within your faith just because, like, that's just constant fighting, honestly.
Right.
Like, it is nonstop. I actually watched God's Not Dead last night. Have you watched God's Not Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've actually never watched it before.
Oh, okay.
But I watched it last night and I was like, oh. And she said that because they weren't evenly yoked. And I was like, yeah, there you go. And I agree. I mean, I don't care what your religion is, but you should definitely try to stick with.
Right. It just makes your life a little easier. Yes. I mean, if that's not what you want to do, like, whatever.
I mean, whatever. But do whatever you want. But yeah, I mean, if you meet someone, like she said, she wasn't religious. Like, did he think he could, like, convert her?
I mean, obviously.
So, no. I mean, I think Patricia was kind of going away. And Helen.
Right.
So I could see him killing those
two. What about
the
boys?
Right. It didn't say anything about the boys going
away. Or his mom.
Right. His mother was very religious, so.
Right.
I think more than anything, he had gotten himself into a financial mess.
Definitely.
He saw no way out. And.
Even though there was way out.
He was too much of a coward to kill himself as well, because I don't understand how you can kill your entire family and then live with yourself.
Right, yeah.
That's insane to me. A lot of the times, family annihilators kill themselves as well. But then there's sometimes when they don't.
Chris Watts,
100%. That's a case that will forever haunt me because that was so recent. There was actually a very recent one, too, I was going to do. It was actually in 2023. The Height family. Mm-hmm. Did you follow that? It was in Utah.
No, not familiar.
Yeah, it was, but he killed himself. But it was in 2023, he shot his wife, his mother. Oh, no, I'm sorry, his mother-in-law, and their five children, and then killed himself. And 2 weeks before that, there had been, like, a caseworker from Child and Family Services that was looking into investigating them for child abuse. Like, that's the thing. I feel like it's also such a cop-out for him to be like, oh, well, they were sinning and they were falling short and they were getting away from religion, so I had to save them. No, you got in over your head. You, and I mean, Helen's to blame too, because she was spending money the couple didn't have.
Right. Well, it's a woman for you.
Yeah. I mean, women are gatherers. We go out and gather beautiful things.
That's true.
But I'm just saying, like, that was very much a Helen and John problem.
Yeah.
The children had nothing to do with it. And even his mother had nothing to do with it. She helped them. Like, she got them out of their struggle and gave them money to move.
Right.
And then he killed her.
And then he continued using her money.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if you were like, oh, no, we're in over our head, kill yourself, kill your wife. Those kids had nothing to do with it.
Right.
And Elma probably would have taken care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And been just fine. So, no, that was 100% a him problem.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with them. And they're falling away from religion. It was 100% him not being able to keep a job and his wife spending all the money they didn't have.
Right.
And then also him, like, he shouldn't have moved into that big-ass house if he couldn't afford it.
Right.
I mean,
he wanted to keep up appearances.
I get that to an extent. And I'm really struggling with that right now because I'm trying to find a house and they're very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Very expensive. And I feel like even the cheapest houses are above my means.
Yeah.
Even though on paper they're not, because they say, oh, well, you have to make three times, whatever. But I'm just like, God, like, that's so much money. I've never paid a third of my income to rent, ever.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a lot of money.
The world is crazy right now.
It is insane. But, like, that to me is crazy. Like, I can't imagine looking at houses and, like, being like, oh, I'm going to pick this one that is
well above
my means that I can't afford. Like, he just set himself up for disaster moving into a Victorian mansion.
Yeah. Definitely.
To keep up with appearances. I guess my thing, too, is I have no appearances to keep up with.
Right.
So, I don't really care. I mean, who do I have to impress? Nobody. No, I have no one to impress. Literally. I mean, only people I talk to are you, my best friend Allison, mom and dad.
So, yeah, that's true.
I have no one to impress. But I just can't imagine. Because I feel guilty, like, looking at these houses that statistically they say I can afford. And I'm like, God, I don't know how I'm going to afford this.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, ha-ha, Victorian mansion. Let's go, buddy. I don't know. It's crazy to me.
It is crazy. But people do it all the time.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, that was Chris Watts, too.
Yeah.
They ran over the head financially. And he was having an affair.
I mean, most of them are financial.
I feel like, yes, most of them are financial. Because they just keep digging that hole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how they dig those holes. Because you know what? I get really hard time getting credit. I don't know how all these people do this shit. Like, especially like the fraudulent credit.
Yeah.
I mean, well, my God, I feel like they ask for everything.
I have no problem getting credit cards, so.
Okay, well, I do.
Well, I don't know how, because they just hand them out like candy to me.
I've always had a hard time, though, my entire life, like since I was 18 years old.
Yeah, no, they just hand them out like candy to me, and it's really dumb because they shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. Weekly Dose of Wicked gets credit card offers all the time, too.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I get credit card offers all the time. I don't actually apply for very many credit cards. I'm just saying, I feel like they want everything. When you apply for stuff, like even applying for like rental houses, you're like, yeah, so we'll take 3 months worth of check stubs, a copy of your social security card, a copy of your driver's license, 2 months bank statements. I'm like, where? Why the hell do you need all of this?
Yeah, I've never had to give all of that.
Right. I'm like, it's insane to me. I mean, I gave it all to them, but still, it's insane that that's what they need. I feel like the one asked me for like my last year's tax documents. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. Like, this is getting very invasive. Yeah.
I mean, other than, like, this house, I've never rented a house. I've always rented apartments. But normally, like, they just check my credit, and then they're like, okay, here's the keys.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's crazy.
It's insane. Like, this house, I check nothing.
Yeah, it's insane. I don't know. I don't understand.
Yeah, me either. Okay,
well. I feel like soon enough, it's going to be, like, Rumpelstiltskin, and I'm going to have to give him my firstborn.
Yeah, probably.
Like, it's just so crazy to me. All right, guys, now that I got off that tangent, I hope you enjoy your day, and we'll catch you next week, maybe.
Maybe. We'll try.
We're going to do our best because it's Ashley's turn and she said she's almost done.
I am almost done.
All right. All right. Well, we'll see you next week then.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. If you like what you heard and you want to support a small podcast, please give us money at
www.patreon.com/weeklydoseofwicked, where you can join one of our four amazing tiers, starting at just a measly $3 a month. That's literally 10 cents a day. You can join the Slightly Wicked. After that, we've got the Moderately Wicked for just $5 a month, followed by the Awesomely Wicked for $7 a month. And for those high rollers, big ballers, we have the Extraordinarily Wicked. So head on over, check it out. If you like what you see, join it up.
If subscriptions aren't your jam, head on over to
www.buymeacoffee.com/WDOW, where you can give us a one-time donation to buy us a coffee or, you know, like podcasting equipment, which would probably be a better use of our money.
Feel free to give us a follow on
Instagram at weekly_dose_of_wicked, or you can just search Weekly Dose of Wicked and we'll pop up because we're the only ones.
Or you can give us a like on Facebook at facebook.com/weeklydoseofwicked.
Or, you know what, you could just do both, because that would be better for us.
For a direct feed of our podcast, please go to
www.weeklydoseofwicked.buzzsprout.com.
Great news, guys. We've made it big time, and you can now listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Yep, yep. Even Pandora. They finally let us in.
Make sure to come back next Wednesday for your
Weekly Dose of Wicked. Ba-dum-psh.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.